Some are number one. Thank you. Please take a Bible. The blue Bible's on the shelf of the seat in front of you. These Bibles. Now we're going to turn to page 1049. Thank you. 1094. Someone had a, I don't know if that was me or the person putting the slides together, one of us got our numbers jumbled up. Sorry about that. So the numbers are right, but in the wrong order. It's page 1094, not 49. Sorry about that. 1094. Thank you, Karen. So you should have a big number 3 on the middle of the page, because it's Acts chapter 3. So we've read that passage from the New Testament on the screen that said all people are like grass, all their glory is like the flowers of the field. We fade away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And so in Dagenham Parish Church, we're careful to read God's word, and we want to consider what he's saying to us in his word. We are following a series through this book in the New Testament which talks about all that continued to happen after Jesus had died and risen to life and returned to his Father. And so we're reading about some episodes, an episode today that happened in the city of Jerusalem. I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. That's at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the men gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. What I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep it open. We're going to think about that. I'm going to read a bit more of it as well in a moment. Just going to put up my board so I can put some pictures up for you. If there's any children who want to come closer so they can see, there's a few spaces at the front if you'd like to come forward. Welcome. This episode is what the Bible calls a sign. Signs are things that point us in the right direction or tell us what we must do or mustn't do. We've got to know how to read the sign. There's a sign. For drivers, you've got to know what that sign means. I mean, does that sign mean help people across the road? Does that mean you must use a walking stick? What do you think that sign means? It's telling the drivers to be careful. What have they got to be careful of? What's coming up? There'll be old people. They'd say, be careful, because there'll be old people near here. Maybe there's a home where some old people live, and they're slow at crossing the road. So if you're a driver, be careful. That's what that sign is telling you. Another sign here. Anyone who's a driver or a cyclist knows what that sign means. Does that mean you've got to do subtraction sums? No, it doesn't mean that, does it? What does that sign say, Lucas? Yeah. No entry. It means don't go in this way. Don't go in this way. And then one more road sign I've got here. What does that road sign mean? Yes?
To not go on that road.
Not go that direction. It says don't go that way. You can't go that way. You can go straight on. You can go that way. But you can't go that way. That's what that sign says. That's why the red line is there. That's it. Well, what does this sign mean, though? Here's Jesus has done something extraordinary. We've got to think, what does it mean? Oh, here's some hand signs that we use. I often use these, don't I? People who are regular know that I use these signs. What does that sign mean? Come here. Yeah, that's a sign telling you to do something. What does that sign mean? Shh, be quiet. It means be quiet. And what does that sign mean? Look. Just using one finger, nonverbal communication, to tell you to do something. They're signs. That's a different sign, isn't it? That's right. Here we go. Peter and John, where were they going, does it say? They were going to the temple. What were they? Thank you. I think my stickies don't work so well on this board. What were they going to do? Pray. They were going up to the temple for the time of praying, because they were still using the Old Testament way of praying. And there was a man there who was lame. Lame means he couldn't walk. How long does it say that he couldn't walk? In the Bible, how long does it say that he'd been unable to walk? From birth. So from when he came from his mummy's tummy, there she is, he'd not been able to walk. And so because he couldn't walk, he was being carried. And the people who carried him, they put him down on the ground outside the temple so that he could beg. That's right. Now, beg means ask for money. Sometimes we see people in Dagenham begging. It's when they're sat outside a shop or they're sat outside a railway station and they're asking us for money. You may be someone who gives money, maybe you don't. But we should treat those people with respect. Don't be rude to them. Don't be unkind to them. But Peter, he speaks to this man. And he says, listen. He gets him to listen. And he says, I don't have any silver or gold. Silver or gold were the things that people used for their money. That's the metals that their money is made of. I didn't know this until I looked it up this morning. Anyone know what English money is made of, the coins? It's not made of silver and gold anymore. It's too expensive. Apparently it's made of steel with other metals on the outside. Anyway, interesting fact. Peter hasn't got any of that, but he can give the man something better. He says that in verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold, or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. How quickly does the man get better? Which verses does it say? Verse 7, and the word there is instantly. Instantly means right then and there. In that instant, it happened. How did the people know he was better? He's walking. He's leaping. I'll do a leap like that. Okay, that's a big jump. Something like that. It looks ridiculous when I do it, but if I'd been sat on the floor, I would do that. Wouldn't you? If you've been sat on the floor all your life, you would leap. And he's praising God. He's saying great things about God. And where can he go now? He can now go into the temple, the place for praying to God. He couldn't do that before. The temple's not a place for people whose bodies are wrong and broken. It's only for things that are healthy and good. And he's now been made ready to go into God's place to pray. So Peter has been the person Jesus has used. Jesus has done an amazing sign. I'd love to have an amazing board that would work. It's not holding my pictures this morning. But what does that sign mean? It's a question mark for us to ask. What does that sign mean? Amazing signs and wonders in the Bible, they don't make people believe. It's a surprising thing, isn't it? Because many people will say to us today, well, if God showed me a sign, if he showed me a miracle, then I would believe. It doesn't happen in the Bible. Did you know that? Did you know when God does signs in the Bible, it doesn't make people believe? Signs do not make faith. Signs strengthen faith in people who already believe. But people who do not believe, when they see signs, they don't change their minds. It doesn't happen. So what does this sign mean? It's a lovely song we've just sung, but the song didn't explain what it means, did it? The song was telling us the story again, but the song didn't say, this is what the sign means. Seeing the sign didn't make people understand and believe. So look at what Peter says in verse 12. When Peter saw this, when Peter saw all the crowds of people who were amazed, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" You see, he's saying, you've misunderstood. He's got to explain to them what the sign really means, because they haven't understood. So Peter is going to tell them what it really means. He says, Jesus is God's servant. The God of the Old Testament had promised his servant would come, and he worked through him. So verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Jesus is God's servant. You, the people in Jerusalem, handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. Disowns means they're saying, we don't want anything to do with him. He's not ours. We don't want him. Nothing to do with us. Pilate, the ruler, had decided to set him free. It says in verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. Pilate, the ruler, wanted to let Jesus go. No, 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 don't set him free. No, no, take him back again. Kill him. Crucify him.
That's what the people were saying.
We don't want him back. Kill him, crucify him. The people disowned the holy and righteous one, it says. Verse 14, you disowned the holy and righteous one. Holy means always good, righteous bringing God's good rule. So here is Jesus, the holy and righteous one. And they disowned him, they didn't want him. And instead of having him, who do they want? Verse 14. They wanted a murderer. They said, we don't want him. We want a murderer instead. Who was that murderer? What was he called?
Barabbas.
Yes, Barabbas. It says, they killed the author of life, verse 15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Jesus is the one who made up life. It's his idea. He makes us alive. He makes all the life that happens in the world live. But they wanted a murderer, someone who destroys life. This is what the Bible says our sin is like. Not listening to God. That's what people do when they don't want to hear the noise. The Bible says, the Bible talks about sin, those three letters, S-I-N, shut up God, I'm in charge, no to your rule. That's how we act. And Peter is saying here, that's how these people in Jerusalem had acted. Jesus is God's servant to do God's work, but they gave him up to be killed. Jesus is the holy and righteous one who came from God for God's good plan, but you disowned him. Nothing to do with us. We don't want him. Kill him. Jesus is the author of life, but you killed him and wanted someone who destroys life. That's what our sin is like. You see what Peter says? You did that, you did that, you did that, but God glorified him. God raised him from the dead. Verse 15, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. So Peter and Jesus' friends who had seen Jesus alive again are witnesses. What's the biggest part of that person? What's the biggest part of them in that picture? Their eyes. because that's what witnesses are. Witnesses are the people who've seen something. Peter and his friends had seen Jesus alive, and now they can tell everyone that that is true. So he says, verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. So what does this sign mean? This sign means that Jesus has been glorified. God has said Jesus is special. Jesus is Lord. Let me read that section through, verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them at the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, all the people running, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" Puh! It's not true. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And then he tells them what they'd done wrong. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though Pilate had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, and now it changes. But God raised him from the dead. And now Peter, we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. They know this man. He's the one who's always been sitting outside the gate. And now they can see he's not sitting. He's walking and he's leaping and he's praising, and he can go into the temple with the other people to pray. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. You sinned, but God raised Jesus to life. We've seen it, Peter says, and now you have seen Jesus has made this man better. We've still not explained, what does the sign mean? What does it tell us to do? Remember the signs that we talked about? That tells you to look at something. That tells you to be quiet. That tells you to come here. What does this sign mean? Well, Peter's going to tell us. Verse 17. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. God has kept his plan. Do you see that in verse 18? That this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through the prophets. Fulfilled means he's made it come true. Foretold means that's what he told beforehand, before he told it. And that's what God's Old Testament messengers, his prophets, had said. They'd said this is going to happen. They said that God's servant would suffer. God's promises have come true. God knew people would hate Jesus. God knew Jesus would be rejected and killed. What must they do, though? The sign tells you to do something. The sign tells you you've got to take an action. What does this sign tell us to do? Well, Peter explains, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So repent means change direction. If I'm going along in this direction, I'm walking away from God, I want my way, Joel's king, I don't like God. Repent means I turn around and I go back towards God. And I say, God, you are the king. You know better than me. I've changed my mind. That's repent. And then sins will be wiped out. Now, we know from the Bible, other parts, it doesn't mean I'm going to become a perfect person, but it means the wrong things I've done will be wiped away. That's what we had in David's prayer on the board earlier this morning, when David asked him to wash away his sins, wipe them out. And God will give times of refreshing us with new life with God by the Holy Spirit living with us. And then Jesus will come back. It says, verse 21, heaven must receive him, that's Jesus, until the time comes for God to restore everything. So Jesus has gone to heaven. Heaven has received Jesus, welcomed him to be king with God the Father in heaven, but he's going to come back. And all of this is what God's messengers have said in the Old Testament. So what have we seen this morning? What happened after Jesus went back to heaven? What happened in Jerusalem? There was a remarkable sign. A man who couldn't walk from when he was a baby had been put in front of the temple gate because he couldn't walk. And then Peter, Jesus' servant, said, get up and walk. All the people were amazed and surprised, but they didn't understand because the sign didn't create faith. They thought Peter had some great power of his own. And Peter said, no, no, it's Jesus. God has glorified Jesus. And this is the meaning of the sign. You must repent. You must turn back to God so that your sins can be wiped clean and refreshing come, so that you can come to life with Jesus and God his Father. That's what the sign means. So are you like the people in Jerusalem? You have sinned, you have rejected God, and you haven't asked for forgiveness yet. You haven't repented. Are you that person? The sign says you can turn back to God. You can do that. But you need to do it before Jesus comes back. Trust that Jesus can wipe out your sins and give you life with God. Or maybe this morning you are more like Peter. You already know that Jesus is the king. This sign doesn't make faith, but this sign strengthens the faith that you have. You see, Jesus can help people come to life with God. He's helped you come to life with God. Jesus is the answer to all of God's promises, all the messengers had said in the Old Testament. You know that it's right to keep trusting him, and you're waiting for him to come back. I wonder if you're one of those. Well, I've got three prayers that I'm going to lead us in this morning to finish. They're going to come on the board. Thank you. So the first one is for someone who's not even sure if God's there. Let me read that prayer. God, I don't even know if you exist. The Bible says... Sorry, it's badly written. I've made a mistake here. The Bible says Jesus is the answer to your promises. I want to know if this is true. I want to know if Jesus can bring me life with you. Please draw me to yourself as I find out about him. Help me to get to know you. So that's a prayer for someone who's just still finding out. Let me read that prayer and you can echo it in your heart if that's for you. God, I don't even know if you exist. The Bible says Jesus is the answer to your promises. I want to know if it's true. I want to know if Jesus can bring me life with you. Please draw me to yourself as I find out more about him. Help me to get to know you. Amen. The second prayer is for someone who they realize that they are like the people in the story and they want to change their mind. They want to turn back. Here's the prayer. God, I am like the people in this story. I've avoided you. I've wished you weren't there. I've chosen my own way. I turn back to you. I trust that your son, your servant, is the king who can wipe out my sins. I want to live with him as my king. So if this is you, please follow along this prayer in your heart. God, I am like the people in this story. I have avoided you. I have wished you weren't there. I have chosen my way. I turn back to you. I trust that your Son, your servant Jesus, is the King who can wipe out my sins. I want to live with him as my King. Amen. And then here's the third prayer for people who are already believers. Almighty Father, you glorified Jesus by raising him from the dead. Thank you for this sign to show he can bring us to life with you. Thank you for the reassurance that all that happened to Jesus is within your plan. I thank you for wiping out my sins. I thank you for new life with me, so God giving his new life with me. I long for Jesus to come back. If this is you, echo this prayer in your heart. Almighty Father, you glorified Jesus by raising him from the dead. Thank you for this sign to show he can bring us to life with you. Thank you for the reassurance that all that happened to Jesus is within your plan. I thank you for wiping out my sins. I thank you for new life with me. I long for Jesus to come back. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. If you are one of the people who prayed that you want to find out more, there's a couple of leaflets. They're designed for children, but there's a lot in there for adults to learn from. Those are in the entranceway. They're free. You're welcome to take one. There's also leaflets that Samuel and Shiny, I hope I said it right, have brought about the Logos project. Young men and young women, the reading groups are going to happen after church, so do stay here for that after we've finished. Rob.
Joel, and thank you to the musicians for leading us in our singing today. And we're going to sing again.